finding the morning papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers. AM, FM, shortwave talk radio. The truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, on this Thursday. Is it Thursday already? The 14th of June, 2007. And I was going to have a guest on today, but in light of many goings-on that we have witnessed here in the last couple of weeks and, well, the last couple of years in this country concerning the press, concerning the ne'er-do-wells that run in the shadows that work for government, and then they don't work for government, then they work for corporations, then they don't work for corporations. A revolving door of, how should we say, the chosen ones. What I'm going to do in its entirety, I'm going to do Mockingbird, the subversion of a free press by the CIA. The very same people right now that even George Bush admitted that the CIA is over there right now trying to destabilize Ahmadinejad, trying to pick a fight. It's funny, I was watching last night, it came on AMC, Braveheart. And there, one of the lines in that movie was they were standing on the field before the thing really got heated up and it was really an all-out rebellion against the English in Scotland to get their country back. By the way, the Irish joined up with them. They didn't like the Brits that much either. Still didn't. But they asked, well, that was a great speech that you gave. Now what are you going to do? Well, I'm not going across this field. Basically, I'm not going to go across the field to surrender or negotiate, because there's no negotiating with creatures that have no honor, have no dignity. He said, I'm going to go pick a fight. Well, that's exactly what the CIA right now in Iran is doing for the neocons, for George Bush, for the corporate interest. The CIA, is their fingerprints are all over the Middle East and have been for a long, long time. It's no secret that one of their best things is to get in there to sabotage and cause subterfuge and topple governments and start factions warring against each other. Standard operating procedures. Even JFK, that he himself was not lily white, much to be condemned for in his life, but there were some things that he did were, and you have to wonder why he did it. I mean, he announced that he was going to spread the CIA to the four winds. So the problem is, folks, when you have a big baseball bat and you got a neighbor that fears you, he's going to get an equal size bat or bigger. There are ways that all this stuff is escalated to the point we're looking at the down the barrel of a gun at each other. Is that how friendships are made? Is that how detente works? Is that how open discussions amongst governments do? And who is the people that are always suffering? Oh, that's right. It's the little guy. What the elites don't really consider important unless you're putting money into their pockets. Other than that, you are expendable. I'm going to get into Operation Mockingbird. And it is as apparent today in the news media as it was back in the 40s and the 50s that they started this. I think you will find us extremely enlightened. No, I don't trust the press, because they can be bought as easily as a street corner whore can. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
You could get a journalist cheaper than a good call girl for a couple hundred dollars a month. That was CIA operative discussing with Philip Graham, the editor of the Washington Post, on the availability and prices of journalists willing to peddle CIA propaganda and cover stories. As terrible as it is to live in a nation where the press is known to be controlled by the government, at least one has the advantage of knowing the bias is present and adjust for it. If the United States of America, we are taught from birth that our press is free from such government meddling, this is an insidious lie about the very nature of the news institution in this country, one that allows the government to lie to us while denying the very fact of the lie itself. This was taken from Alex Constantine, the article that he wrote, Tales from the Crypt, The Depraved Spies and Moguls of the CIA's Operation Mockingbird. Who controls the media? Soulless corporations do, of course. Corporations with grinning, double-breasted executives, interlocking directorates, labor squabbles, and flying capital. Dow, General Electric, Coca-Cola, Disney, newspapers should have the masthead that mirror the world. The Westinghouse Evening Schmittar, the Atlantic Richfield Intelligencer. It's the beginning to dawn on the growing number of armchair ombudsmen that the public print reports news from the parallel universe, one that has never heard of politically motivated assassinations, CIA mafia banking thefts, mind control, death squads or even federal agencies with secret buckets fattened by cocaine sales. A place overrun by lone gunmen, where the CIA and the mafia are usually on their best behavior. In this idyllic land, the most serious infraction an official can commit is the employment of the domestic servant with no residency status. This unlikely land of enchantment is the creation of Mockingbird. It was conceived in the late 1940s, the most frigid period of the Cold War, when the CIA began a systematic infiltration of the corporate media, a process that often included direct takeover of major news outlets. In this period, the American intelligence services competed with communist activists abroad to influence European labor unions, with or without the cooperation of local governments, by the way. Frank Wisner, an undercover State Department official assigned to foreign service, rounded up students abroad to enter the Cold War underground of covert operations on behalf of his Office of Policy Coordination. Philip Graham, a graduate of Army Intelligence School in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, then publisher of the Washington Post, was taken under Wisner's wing to direct the program, codename Operation Mockingbird. By the early 1950s, writes former Village Voice reporter Deborah Davis, in Catherine the Great, Wisner owned respected members of the New York Times, Newsweek, CBS, and other communication vehicles, plus stringers, 400 to 600 in all. According to a former CIA analyst, the network was overseen by Alan Dulles, a Templar for the German and American corporations who wanted their points of view represented in public print. Early Mockingbird influenced 25 newspapers and wire agencies, consenting to act as organs of CIA propaganda. Many of these were already run by men with reactionary views, among them William Paley, CBS, C.D. Jackson of Fortune, Henry Luce of Time, and Arthur Hayes Sulzberger of the New York Times. Activists curious about workings of Mockingbird have since been appalled to find in FOIA documents that agents boasting in CIA office memos of their pride in having placed important assets inside every major news publication in the country. It was not until 1982 that the agency openly admitted that reporters on the CIA payroll have acted as case officers to agents in the field. World War III has begun, Henry Luce's wife declared in March of 1947. It is the opening skirmish stage already. The issue featured an excerpt of a book by James Burnham, who called for the creation of an American empire, world-dominating and political power set up at least in part through coercion, probably including war, but certainly the threat of war, in which one group of people would hold more than its equal share of power. George Seldes, the famed anti-fascist media critic, drew down on Luce in 1947, explaining that, although avoiding typical Hitlerian phrases, the same doctrine of superior people taking over the world and ruling it began to appear in the press, whereas the organs of the Wall Street were much more honest in favoring a doctrine inevitably leading to war if it brought greater commercial markets under the American flag. On the CIA domestic front, an abiding relationship was struck between the CIA and William Paley, a wartime colonel and founder of CBS, a firm believer in all forms of propaganda. To foster loyalty to the Pentagon, Paley hired CIA agents to work undercover at the behest of his close friend, the busy gray eminence of the nation's media, Alan Dulles. Paley designated go-between in his dealings with the CIA was Sig Mikkelsen, president of CBS News from 1954 to 1961. The CIA's assimilation of old guard fascists were overseen by the Operations Coordination Board, directed by C.D. Jackson, formerly an executive of Time magazine, and Eisenhower's special assistant for Cold War strategy. In 1954, he was succeeded by Nelson Rockefeller, who quit a year later, disgusted at the administration's political infighting. Vice President Nixon succeeded Rockefeller as the key Cold War strategist. Nixon writes John Loftus, a former attorney for the Justice Department's the Office of Special Investigations, took a small boy's delight in the arcane tools of the intelligence craft, the hidden microphones, the black propaganda. Nixon especially enjoyed his visit to Virginia training camp to observe Nazis and special forces drilling at covert operations. One of the fugitives recruited by the American intelligence underground was a heroin smuggler by the name of Hubert von Bühler. The son of a German ambassador, Hubert often bragged that he was trained by the Abwehr, the German military intelligence division, while still a civilian in his 20s. He served in a recon unit in the German army until forced out for medical reasons in 1944. According to his wartime records, he worked briefly as an assistant director for Berlin Film on a movie entitled One Day, and finished out the war by flying with the Luftwaffe. But not to engage the enemy, his mission was the smuggling of Nazi loot out of the country. His exploits were, in part, the subject of Sayer in Botting's Nazi Gold, an account where the knockover of the Reichsbank at the end of the war. In 1948, he flew the coup to Argentina, posing as a photographer named Huberto von Bucher Corell. He immediately paid court to Eva Perón, presenting her with an invaluable goblin tapestry, probably a selection from the wealthy artifacts confiscated by the SS from Europe's Jews. Hubert then met with Martin Bormann at the Hotel Plaza to deliver German marks worth $80 million. The loot financed the birth of the National Socialist Party in Argentina, among other forms of Nazi revival. In 1951, Hubert migrated northward and took a job at the Color Corporation of America in Hollywood. He eked out a living writing scripts for the booming movie industry. His voice can be heard on the film set In the Amazon, produced by Walt Disney. 9 years later, he returned to Buenos Aires, then Dusseldorf, West Germany, and established a firm that developed not movie scripts, but anti-chemical warfare agents for the government. At the industry club in Dusseldorf in 1982, von Bucher boasted to journalists, "I am chief shareholder of Pan American Airwaves. I am the best friend of Howard Hughes. The Beach Hotel in Las Vegas is 45% financed by me. I am thus the biggest financier ever to appear in the Arabian Nights tales dreamed up by these people over their second bottle of brandy." Well, not really. Two, the biggest financiers to stumble from the drunken dreams of the world-moving affluence were, in their time, Moses Annenberg, publisher of the Philadelphia Inquirer, and his son Walter, the CIA mob-anchored publisher of the TV Guide. Like most American high rollers, Annenberg lived a double life. Moses, his father, was a scion of the Capone mob. Both Moses and Walter, the son, were indicted in 1939 for tax evasion, totaling many millions of dollars. The biggest case in history of the Justice Department, Moses pled guilty and agreed to pay the government $8 million and settle $9 million in assorted tax claims, penalties, and interest debts. Moses received a 3-year sentence. He died in Lewisburg Penitentiary. Speaking of which, how did they go after Al Capone? Not because of all the graft and all the murder and everything else. That would have upset Chicago and all of Illinois to no end, folks. What did they get Al Capone on? Oh, that's right, he didn't file the IRS taxes. Rather than really going in and cleaning house, this is my adjunct, cleaning house, finding out who the crooks were, who was connected to whom, they just picked a target. Mr. Al Capone, IRS gets him, case closed. Walter Annenberg, according to the story, the TV Guide magnate, was a lofty Republican on the campaign trail in April of 1988. George Bush flew into Los Angeles to woo Reagan's kitchen cabinet. This is the topping on the cake, Bush's regional campaign director told the Los Angeles Times. The Bush team met at Annenberg's plush Rancho Mirage estate at Sunnylands in California. It was at the Annenberg mansion that Nixon's cabinet was chosen and the state's social and contributor registers built over a quarter of a century of state political dominance by Ronald Reagan, whose acting career was launched by Operation Mockingbird. The commercialization of television coinciding with Reagan's recruitment by the Crusade for Freedom, a CIA front, presented the intelligence world with an unprecedented potential for sowing propaganda and even prying into the age of Big Brother. George Orwell glimpsed the possibilities when he installed omnipresent video surveillance technology in 1948. We'll pick this up right after the break, folks. You need to hear this. Listen to what I'm saying, and you'll understand current situation today. It is still an ongoing operation.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Sorry for the long break there. People just keep wanting to call me on my cell phone during broadcast hours. Now, talking about George Orwell, he glimpsed the possibilities when he installed the omnipresent video surveillance technology in 1948, a novel rechristened 1984 for the first edition published in the U.S. by Harcourt Brace. Operation Octopus, according to federal files, was in full swing by 1948. A surveillance program that turned any television set with tubes into a broadcast transmitter. Agents of Octopus could pick up an audio and visual images from the equipment as far as 25 miles away. Hale Boggs was investigating Operation Octopus at the time of his disappearance in the midst of the Watergate probe. In 1952, at MCA's Actors Guild president Ronald Reagan, a screen idol recruited by Mockingbird's Crusade for Freedom to raise funds for the resettlement of Nazis into the U.S., according to Loftus, signed a secret waiver of a conflict of interest rule, which the mob-controlled studio, in effect granting it a labor monopoly on early television programming. In exchange, MCA made Reagan part owner. Furthermore, historian C. Van Woodward, writing in the New York Times in 1987, reported that Reagan had fed the names of suspect people in his organization to the FBI secretly and regularly enough to be assigned an informer's code, T10. His FBI file indicates intense collaboration with producers to purge the industry of subversives. Now, no one ever turned a suspicious eye on Walter Cronkite, a former intelligence officer and in the immediate post-war period of UPI's Moscow correspondent. Cronkite was lured to CBS by Operation Mockingbird's Phil Graham, according to Deborah Davis. Another television conglomerate, Cap Cities, rose like a horror film from the CIA and Mafia heroin operations. Among other organized crime Republicans, Thomas Dewey and his neighbor Lowell Thomas threw in to launch the infamous Resorts International, the corporate front for Lansky's branch of the federally sponsored mob family and corporate precursor to Cap Cities. Another of the investors was James Crosby, a Cap Cities executive who donated $100,000 to Nixon's 1968 presidential campaign. This was the year that Resorts bought into the Atlantic City casino's interest. Police in New Jersey attempted with no success to spike the issuance of a gambling license to the company, citing mafia ties. In 1954, the same circle of investors, all Catholics, by the way, founded the broadcasting company notorious for overt propagandizing of the general spookiness. The company's chief counsel was OSS veteran William Casey, who clung to his shares by concealing them in a blind trust even after he was appointed CIA director by Ronald Reagan in 1981. Black radio was a phase CIA critic David Wise coined in The Invisible Government to describe the agency's intertwining interest in the emergence of the transistor radio with the entrepreneurs who took to the airwaves. Daily, East and West beams hundreds of propaganda broadcasts at each other in unrelenting babble of competition for the minds of their listeners. The low-price transistor has given their hidden war a new importance, enthused one foreign correspondent. A hydra of private foundations sprang up to finance the propaganda push. One of them, Operations and Policy Research, Inc., or OPR, received hundreds of thousands of dollars from the CIA through private foundations and trust. OPR research was the basis of a television series that aired in New York and Washington, D.C. in 1964, of People and Politics, a study of the American political system in 21 weekly installments. In Hollywood, the visual cortex of the beast, the same CIA-mafia combination that formed Cap Cities, sank its claws into the film studios and labor unions. Johnny Roselli was pulled out of the Army during the war by a criminal investigation of Chicago mobsters in the film industry. Roselli, a CIA agent asset, probably assassinated by the CIA, played sidekick to Harry Cohn, the Columbia Pictures mogul who visited Italy's Benito Mussolini in 1933, and upon his return to Hollywood, remodeled his office after the dictators. The only honest job Roselli ever had was assistant publishing agent and secret investor at Eagle Lion Productions, run by Brian Foy, a former producer for 20th Century Fox. Roselli, Capone's representation on the West Coast, passed a small fortune in mafia investments to Cohn. Bugsy Siegel pooled gambling investments with Billy Wilkerson, publisher of The Hollywood Reporter. In the 1950s, outlays for global propaganda climbed to a full third of the CIA's covert operations budget. Some 3,000 salaried and contract CIA employees were eventually engaged in propaganda efforts. The cost of disinforming the world, cost American taxpayers an estimated $265 million a year by 1978. A budget larger than the combined expenditures of Reuters, UPI, and AP News syndicates combined. We'll continue this on the other side. Stay tuned, folks. We're giving you a bird's eye view of what the media is in this country and its connections. And I'm sure that this is only part of the story.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
In 1977, the Copley News Service admitted that it worked closely with the intelligence services. In fact, 23 employees were full-time employees of the agency. Now, most consumers of the corporate media were and are unaware of the effect that the salting of public opinion has on their own beliefs. A network anchorman in a time of national crisis is an instrument of psychological warfare in the mockingbird media. He is a creature from the national security sector chamber of horrors. For this reason, consumers of the corporate press have no reason to examine their basic beliefs about government and life in the parallel universe of these United States. Now, I want to move on to how the Washington Post censors the news. A letter to the Washington Post by Julian C. Holmes, and was written back in April 25 of 92. He wrote it to Richard Harwood, ombudsman, the Washington Post, on 15th Street in Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. Harwood, though the Washington Post does not overextend itself in the pursuit of hard news, just let me drop the faintest rumor of government conspiracy, and a klaxon horn goes off in the newsroom. aroused from apathy in the daily routine of reporting assignments and various other political and social sports events. Editors and reporters scramble to the phone. The klaxon screams its warning, the greatest single threat to herd journalism, corporate profits, and government stability, the dreaded conspiracy theory. It is not known whether anyone has actually been hassled or accosted by any of these frightful specters, but their presence is announced to Post readers with a salvo of warnings to avoid the tricky, sticky web spun by wacko conspiracy theorists. Remember, I'm reading this letter from 1992. Recall how the Post saved us from the truth about Iran-Contra. Professional conspiracy exorcist, Mark Hasenball, was hired to ridicule the idea that Oliver North and his CIA-associated gangsters had conspired to do wrong. And when in their syndicated column, Jack Anderson and Dale Van Atta discussed some of the conspirators, the Post sprang to protect its readers and the conspirators by censoring the Anderson column before printing it. Now, let me stop here for a second. Washington Post, Watergate, broke the big story. The big story wasn't Tricky Dick and him and his cronies funneling funds. This didn't have anything to do with political warfare. The Washington Post really wanted to write to poop on Richard Nixon. The man would have been in court, not asked to leave the Oval Office. But for some time, the lid had been coming off the Iran-Contra conspiracy. In 1986, the Christic Institute, an interfaith center for law and public policy, had filed a lawsuit alleging a U.S. arms for drugs trade that helped keep weapons flowing to the CIA-Contra army in Nicaragua and cocaine flowing to U.S. markets. In 1988, Leslie Cockburn published Out of Control, a seminal work on the bizarre illegal war against Nicaragua. The Post contributed to this discovery process by disparaging the charges of conspiracy and by publishing false information about the drug smuggling evidence presented to the White House Subcommittee on Narcotics Abuse and Control. When accused by committee chairman Charles Rangel, Democrat out of New York, of misleading reporting, the Post printed only a partial correction and declined to print a letter of complaint from Rangel himself. Sworn testimony before Senator John Kerry's Subcommittee on Terrorism, Narcotics, and International Operations confirmed U.S. government complicity in the drug trade. With its cover-up of the arms drug conspiracy evaporating, the ever-accommodating Post shifted gears and retained Hasenball to exorcise from our minds a newly emerging threat to domestic tranquility, the October surprise conspiracy. But close on the heels of Hasenball and the Post came Barbara Honegger and then Gary Sick, who authored independently 2 years apart books with the same title, October Surprise. Honegger was a member of the Reagan-Bush campaign and transition teams in 1980. Gary Sick, professor of Middle East politics at Columbia University, was on the staff of the National Security Council under President Ford, Carter, and Reagan. In 1989 and in 1991, respectively, Honegger and Sick published their evidence of how the Republicans made a deal to supply arms to Iran if Iran would delay release of the 52 United States hostages until the November 1980 election. The purpose of this deal was to quash the possibility of a pre-election release, an October surprise, if you will, which would have bolstered the re-election prospects for President Jimmy Carter. Others published details of this alleged Reagan-Bush conspiracy. In October of 1988, Playboy magazine ran an expose, the election held hostage. Frontline did another in April of 1991. In June of 1991, a conference of the distinguished journalists, joined by eight of their former hostages, challenged the Congress to make a full impartial investigation of the election hostage allegations. Now, the Post reported the statement of the hostages, but not a word of the conference itself, which was held in the Dirksen Senate Office Building Auditorium. On February 5th of 1992, a gun-shy, uninspired House of Representatives begrudgingly authorized an October surprise investigation by a task force of 13 congressmen headed by Lee Hamilton, Democrat out of Indiana. Which, by the way, it is my belief that Lee Hamilton is still working for the crew. I just saw him yesterday commenting about George Bush and the Middle East War. Like the Washington Post, Hamilton had not shown interest in pursuing the U.S. arms for drug operation. He accepted Oliver North's lies. And as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, he derailed House Resolution 485, which had asked President Reagan to answer questions about Contra support activities of government officials and others after CIA operative John Hall from Hamilton's home state was charged in Costa Rica with international drug trafficking and hostile acts against the nation's security. Hamilton and 18 fellow members of Congress tried to intimidate Costa Rican President Oscar Arias Sanchez into handling Hall's case in a manner that will not complicate U.S. Costa Rican relations. The Post did not report the Hamilton letter on the Costa Rican response that declared Hall's case to be in as good as hands as our 100-year uninterrupted democracy can provide to all citizens. Though the Post does its best to guide our thinking away from conspiracy theories, it is difficult to avoid the fact that such wrongdoing involves government or corporate conspiracies. In its COINTELPRO operation, the FBI used disinformation, forgery, surveillance, false arrest, and violence to illegally harass U.S. citizens back in the 1960s. The CIA's Operation Mongoose illegally sabotaged Cuba by destroying crops, brutalizing citizens, destabilizing the society, and other conspiring with the mafia to assassinate Fidel Castro and other leaders. Standard Oil of New Jersey. Let me stop right here. Because here, let me bring you up to speed. It wasn't an October surprise, was it? It was a September 11th surprise of 2001. Almost out of the handbook of Operations Northwoods, which the CIA had total control over. What did we see happen on September 11, 2001? Look who benefited, look where the money goes, look who is in charge, and look who is still seated with all the baggage that is coming forth, more than I would have ever dreamed on George Bush himself. Is the man guilty of treason? He's guilty of more than that. He's way more guilty than just treason against the United States. He could be nailed. Forget anything else that this clown has ever been involved in. The very fact that he's in here promoting the North American Union to destroy this country should be enough for any simple-minded person out there to get their little minds wrapped around. The man is treasonous. Standard Oil of New Jersey was found by the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice to be conspiring with IG Farben of Germany. By its cartel agreements with Standard Oil, the United States was effectively prevented from developing or producing, for World War II, any substantial amount of synthetic rubber. And this was said by Senator Robert LaFolliette of Wisconsin. U.S. government agencies knowingly withheld information about dosages of radiation, almost certain to produce thyroid abnormalities or cancer, that contaminated people residing near the nuclear weapons factory at Hanford, Washington. By the way, speaking of nuclear leaks, our vaunted Environmental Protection Agency purposely withheld information from the people about Three Mile Island and the other nuclear plant in California that definitely leaked and almost went supernova and did the old China syndrome meltdown. They specifically withheld information from the people. They were in danger, but they were not told. Various branches of government deliberately dragged their feet in getting around to cleaning up the nation's dangerous nuclear weapon sites. State and local governments back in the nuclear industry's secret public relations strategy. The National Cancer Institute, the American Cancer Society, and some 20 comprehensive cancer centers have misled and confused the public and Congress by repeated claims that they are winning the war against cancer. In fact, the cancer establishment has continually minimized the evidence for increasing cancer rates, which it has largely attributed to smoking and dietary fat, while discounting or ignoring the casual role of avoidable exposures to industrial carcinogens in the air, food, water, and the workplace. The Bush administration, cover-up of its pre-Gulf War support of Iraq, is yet another example of the president's people conspiring to keep both Congress and the American people in the dark. If you think about it, Conspiracy is a fundamental aspect of doing business in this country. Take the systematic and cooperative censorship of the Persian Gulf, that war by Pentagon and much of the news media. One of the widespread plans of business and government groups to spend $100 million in taxes to promote a distorted and truncated history of Columbus and America, along the lines of Smithsonian Institution's fusion of two worlds, rather than examining more realistic aspects of the Spanish invasion, like anger, cruelty, gold, terror, and death. Or circumstances surrounding the U.S. Justice Department theft from the Inslaw Company of sophisticated law enforcement computer software, which now point to a widespread conspiracy implicating lesser government officials in the theft of Inslaw's technology. And that's according to former U.S. Attorney General Elliot Richardson. Or Watergate. Or the largest bank fraud in the world financial history, where the White House knew of the criminal activities of the Bank of Crooks and Criminals International, BCCI, where U.S. intelligence agencies did their secret banking, and where bribery of prominent American public officials was a way of doing business. By the way, guess who got to pay the bill on the CIA operation when BCCI went belly up? That's right, you did, my friends, you did. Or the 1949 conviction of GM, that meaning General Motors, Standard Oil of California, Firestone, and E. Roy Fitzgerald, among others, for criminally conspiring to replace electric transportation with gas and diesel-powered buses and to monopolize the sale of buses and related products to transportation companies throughout the country. In, among others, the cities of New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, St. Louis, Oakland, Salt Lake City, and Los Angeles. Or the collusion in 1973 between Senator Abram Ribicoff, Democrat out of Connecticut, and the U.S. Department of Transportation to overlook safety defects in the 1.2 million Corvair automobiles manufactured by General Motors in the 1960s. Way to go, Ralph. Or the A.H. Robbins Company, which manufactured the Delcon Shield, the intrauterine contraceptive, which ignored repeated warnings of the shield's hazard, and which Stonewall deceived, covered up the cover-ups, thus inflicting on women a worldwide epidemic of pelvic infections. Don't worry, we have Rick Perry here. He wants to make it mandatory that all your children out there are shot full of the stuff to, well, prevent cervical cancer. That has been put on the back burner for the time being. Or the cooperation between McDonnell Douglas Aircraft Company and the FAA resulted in failure to enforce regulations regarding the unsafe DC-10 cargo door, which failed in flight, killing all 364 passengers on Turkish Airlines Flight 981 on March 3rd of 1974. Or the now banned cancer-producing pregnancy drug, DES, I can't even pronounce this one, that was sold by manufacturers who ignored tests which showed DES to be a carcinogen and who acted in concert with each other in testing and marketing of DES for miscarriage purposes. Or the conspiracies among bankers and speculators with the cooperation of the corrupted Congress to relieve depositors of their savings, this arrogant disregard from the White House, Congress, and corporate world for the interests and rights of all American people will cost U.S. taxpayers many hundreds of billions of dollars. Or the Westinghouse, Alice Chalmers, Federal Pacific, and General Electric executives who met surreptitiously in hotel rooms to fix prices and eliminate competition on heavy industrial equipment. Or the convictions of industrial biotest laboratories, IBT, and officers for fabricating safety tests on prescription drugs. Or the conspiracy by the asbestos industry to suppress knowledge of medical problems relating to asbestos. Or the 1928 Anacaria Agreement, which all oil companies agreed not to engage in any effective price competition. By the way, again, what do we hear in the news about the gas companies? Oh, well, some of the refineries aren't fixed. They're going to have to be taken down offline. The small decrease in gasoline prices that you have seen, well, don't worry, folks. They're going back up for the summer. Do not breathe a sigh of relief. And why these news agencies right now will not go to that congressman that has been talking about this since 1922, and has the inner office memos from the largest oil companies conspiring, ladies and gentlemen, conspiracy, here it is again, to limit their production to drive up the price in this country. Why the news media has not put these on the news? Well, one can only imagine. Or the conspiracy among U.S. government agencies and the Congress to cover up the nature of decades-old war against the people of Nicaragua, a covert war that continues in 1992 with the U.S. government applying pressure for the Nicaraguan police to reorganize into a more repressive force. Or the conspiracy by the CIA and the U.S. government to interfere in the Chilean election process with military aid, covert actions, and an economic boycott which culminated in the overthrow of the legitimately elected government and the assassination of President Salvador Allende in 1973. More on the dirty doings. Do you understand why Ron Paul has to be president of this country? He needs to stay alive, to draw in more good people to displace these crooks and criminals, to allow the Fitzgeralds of this planet to be whistleblowers and start to indict and imprison the criminals that are operating in government today. Is it becoming clear yet? I hope so.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Continuing with the conspiracy. Or the conspiracy among U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and CIA Director William Colby, to finance terrorism in Angola for the purpose of disrupting Angola's plans for peaceful elections in October of 1975, and to lie about these actions to the Congress and the news media. and CIA Director George Bush's subsequent cover-up of this U.S.-sponsored terrorism. Or President George Bush's consorting with the Pentagon to invade Panama in 1989 and thereby violate the Constitution of the United States, the UN Charter, the OAS Charter, and the Panama Canal Treaties. Or the gross antitrust violations and the conspiracy of American oil companies and the British and the U.S. governments to strangle Iran economically after Iran nationalized the British-owned Angolan Iranian oil company in 1951. And the subsequent overthrow of the CIA in 1953 of Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. Or the CIA planned assassination of Congo head of state Patrice Lumumba. My apologies for butchering that name. Or the deliberate and willful efforts of President George Bush, Senator Robert Dole, Senator George Mitchell, various U.S. government agencies, and members of both houses of the Congress to buy the 1990 Nicaraguan national elections for the presidential candidates supported by President Bush. Or the collective approval by 64 U.S. senators of Robert Gates to head the CIA in the face of unmistakable evidence that Gates lied about his role in the Iran-Contra scandal. Or how Reagan and the Pope conspired to assist Poland's solidarity movement and hasten the demise of communism. I could go on down the rabbit hole on that subject alone for the next hour, but I will hold that in abeyance for right now. Or how the Reagan administration connived with the Vatican to ban the use of U.S. aid funds by any country for the promotion of birth control or abortion. Obviously, this man that wrote this is a little bit left, but the information is good. Or the way the Vatican and Washington colluded to achieve common purpose in Central America. Or the collaboration of Guatemalan strongman and mass murderer Hector Grimajo of the U.S. Army to design programs to build civilian military cooperation at the U.S. Army School of the Americas, or SOA, at Fort Benning, Georgia. Five of the nine soldiers accused in the 1989 Jesuit massacre in El Salvador are graduates of SOA, which trains Latin American military personnel. Or the conspiracy of the Comanche Peak Nuclear Plant Administration to harass and cause bodily harm to whistleblower Linda Porter, who uncovered dangerous working conditions at the facility. Or the conspiracy of President Richard Nixon and the government of South Vietnam to delay the Paris peace talks until after the 1968 U.S. presidential election. Or the pandemic cover-ups of police violence, or the always safe-to-cite worldwide communist conspiracy. Or maybe the socially responsible secret consortium to publish the satanic verses in paperback. Conspiracy are obviously a way to get things done, and the Washington Post offers little comment unless conspiracy theorizing threatens to expose a really important conspiracy that, let's say, benefits big business or big government. Such a conspiracy would be like our benevolent CIA in 1953 overthrow of the Iranian government to help out U.S. oil companies, or like our illegal war against Panama to tighten U.S. control over Panama and the canal. Or like monopoly control of broadcasting that facilitates corporate censorship on issues of public importance. When the camouflage of such conspiracies is stripped away, public confidence in the conspiring officials can erode, depending on how seriously the citizenry perceives the conspiracy to have violated the public trust. Erosion of public trust in the status quo is what the Post seems to see as a real threat to its corporate security. Currently, the Post has mounted frenzied attacks on Oliver Stone's movie, JFK, which reexamines the U.S. government's official Warren Commission finding that a single gunman acting alone killed President John F. Kennedy. The movie also is a story of New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison's unsuccessful prosecution of Clay Shaw, the only person ever